The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, 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 what is going on, people? Welcome to Throw Down Your Questions, episode 577. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Brett Murdoch.
What up, people?
And Brian Manjoma.
What up, what up?
All right, we're back with another one. Missing a couple of people. Carlos will be in a little later, but literally just about as, you know, as soon as we were about to go live, he got a call from work. Something Brian and I were kind of talking about beforehand, but... you know, it is what it is. But yeah, Manny's still in Chi-Town. Chris is like sick or something. Rich, I believe he's still in Boston. So I don't know if he's going to be able to make it. So you got us, you know. What's going on, Kuel? All right, man. And we got a decent amount of questions too, but you know, we got this. All right, let's start off with Mr. Assyrian Air Force. He goes, I'm a PlayStation fan, but this price hike to PlayStation hardware stings all gamers. What do you think will be the ramifications of it? The first one is higher console prices for everybody and lower console sales for PlayStation. You know, because like once you... go ahead, bro.
Was it a pun?
No, and by the way, Sir Nuffer is actually in the chat too. It's good. He's being genuine. No puns here.
No. Ramifications?
Oh, Brett. Okay. I have this ability to say puns without knowing they're puns. but actually, no, that's on him. He said ramifications. I hope you meant that. But anyway, short answer. It's like, just like when they started raising the console prices the first time around, like obviously the tariffs are to blame and the RAM shit, but I believe they're also testing us. Like, how much are these guys willing to pay? And you're already seeing people making excuses why it's good that PlayStation costs $200 more 6 years later, you know? So they're going to get those kind of people. But yeah, it's going to affect console sales, absolutely. And people are just not going to buy this shit. It's too fucking much, you know? What are your thoughts, Brett?
I don't even know what Sony's doing. Like, at this point, I'm just like, I can't tell if you're just leveraging your customers or you're trying to pass off all the costs of a market that you're basically dominating onto them, but either way, it just kind of feels, at this point, it feels like you're asking me to pick between two flavors of shit sandwich.
Yeah. No, because what I understand is that they had a stockpile of RAM saved up, and it's dried up, basically, so now they have no choice because they are paying more for RAM, just like everybody. And also remember, Xbox has also already had to raise prices for the same issue. So it's not just exclusively a Sony thing. Nintendo's the only holdout, and I think it's only a matter of time until they raise the price of the Switch, too.
Isn't this the second time they've done it though, or was that just not in the U.S. the first time?
No, and now this is the second time in the U.S. Yes.
Okay, and they're still making record profits.
So far, we'll see next quarter, won't we?
Okay,
you so know, like,
I would like to push back on the have to part of that statement.
Yeah. Okay, I know where you're going with this because I said the same thing when Xbox raised prices. I'm like, wait, you guys are making record profits. Why are you doing this? But
yeah, we have to raise it. No, you have to raise it to make more money than you're more making now. Yeah, like if the goal is keep making exponentially more money, yes, you have to raise it.
Yes,
but that's like that shouldn't be the necessity.
Unfortunately, that's how we've talked about this on every episode.
I know.
That's just how these things work. Unfortunately, you know,
engine built out of stupid to produce stupid, and people are still shocked that stupid comes out. At this point, I've just accepted I'm the crazy one. Whatever, it's fine.
But you're not the only one complaining about this. Everyone's talking about it, but no one's doing anything about it because you can't do anything about it, unfortunately. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, people are talking about it. But yeah, Brian, what's your thoughts on it, man?
As I said in the chat, we now live in a world where my launch PS5 was cheaper than a current digital PS5
It's crazy.
After 7 years, well, 6 years, it's like this is literally the, this is going, it's all gone the wrong way somehow. Well, I say somehow, we all know how, but it's just, I'm still trying to comprehend that as a concept, that consoles are more expensive post-launch than on launch when you can even buy one. It's like, just wow. But yeah, I'm with Brett on this one. It's just really bad, and I think the AI bubble has to, well, it needs to pop. It needs to pop. And but even then, I had a thought to myself, and I think that this is basically how it's going to go. So even though that right now things are expensive, and even if the bubble were to pop, I still don't think that the prices will go down to what they would have been. So it's, so let's say, for example, RAM is like $100, and then because of the RAM crisis, it's now up to $200. If the bubble pops, I think it'll go to $150. So still cheaper than now, but still more expensive than what they should be, regardless. And then that will be the new normal either way. Yeah. So I don't think there's a good way out of this at all, unless somehow companies start going bust, which, given how governments love to fund companies to not go bust, I don't think it's going to happen. So basically, we are screwed, regardless.
Yeah, no, I agree. And the other thing I wanted to bring up, I don't know if we talked about this on the Thursday show, but it's something I don't feel enough people are talking about. One of the reasons we typically get cheaper consoles, or they get cheaper over time, is because it costs less to manufacture them because the chips they use get smaller. That's not happening as much anymore because Moore's Law is slowing down, right? It's like, how much smaller can you get these chips to go? So that's something people aren't talking about. It's like, there had to come a day where Moore's Law was not going to go on forever. They had to slow down. So I see this all as a perfect storm of everything. Moore's Law, tariffs, RAM, all this shit is just coming together. And it's just, because remember, even before all of this started happening, the first device that we saw that had a price hike without getting any upgrades was the Oculus Rift 2, Meta Quest 2. So we were like, wait, that's unusual. But even then on this show, we were like, hey, is this going to happen to consoles? Sure enough, it happened to consoles. And remember, that happened before all this shit. And to your point, Brian, yeah, once these companies see what people are paying, willing to pay, you know, even if the RAM prices go down, because I'm already hearing reports that, you know, once the bubble pops, which it probably will this year, the RAM may crash, but console prices are probably not going to go down. They know they got you, you know? And to Brett's point, they got to keep their shareholders happy by bringing in more money. So it's all a perfect storm of bullshit. I believe Carlos just showed up. So, Carlos, if you want to say anything about, you know, your thoughts on, you know, how the PS5 price hike is going to affect, you know, what are ramifications of it?
Well, I think the ramifications of this is something that we talked about previously. It's the new console prices are going to be an exorbitant amount of money. Mm-hmm. And we already know this. I mean, the PS6 isn't going to be cheap. It's not going to be your grandfather's $400 console. You know, it's going to be way more. And this is just a way to normalize all of that. Obviously there's a whole bunch of contributing factors. I mean, you guys talked about it, the RAM shortages, the AI bubble, the tariffs, inflation, greed, everything is taken into account with this. So it's just something where, you know, people are going to get used to it. And I mean, they're still selling PlayStations, you know, PlayStation is selling in at some points even better than the Switch 2.
It's crazy.
So, you know, you think Sony is going to be like, oh, we're lowering down the price, you know, for the good of the consumer. Hell no, they're still selling. So what's the point?
Yeah, you're right. Because think about it, Carlos, to your point, PlayStation had a price hike and they still sold a shit ton of consoles.
Yeah. I mean, this is the consumer telling PlayStation, you're not going too high. It's not high enough.
They want the privilege of paying more money.
Exactly. You know, so it's, I mean, why should you fault Sony when, you know, when people are, you know, paying these prices for these consoles, and it's the market that sets the price.
Yep. All right, let's move on. Next question from Mr. Interforce, also kind of related to this. And Mr. Interforce, since you're in the chat, you could kind of clarify this question for me because I'm not sure what you're trying to ask here. Do you think gamers on old hardware like PS4 and Xbox One had plenty of time to upgrade the PS5 and Xbox Series before the price hikes, or were they wanting more of a price drop? Again, Carlos, you usually better have better insight on this stuff. I don't really understand the question. What do you think it is?
It's a little confusing, but I think what he's trying to ask is, for the people who wanted to buy the console, I mean, did the price hikes ever affect them? Since, you know, they had plenty of time to upgrade, essentially.
Maybe.
I guess that's how I'm interpreting it.
Yeah, shout out to Mr. TV Terminal. What's going on, Adam?
What's up, sucker bitches?
Yeah.
You complaining is that about Xbox?
The high prices? That,
yeah.
You don't like the high prices?
Yeah, so obviously you know what we're being asked about.
Damn
right now.
Right.
Yeah.
Damn right.
Shit. He goes, well, I'm trying to upgrade to original MSRP price. You can't. Those original MSRP prices are gone, bro.
Not even on eBay,
you know. So yeah, sir. Of course, we don't really understand your question here. But if you could clarify in the chat, go ahead. But Adam, since you weren't here, just quick thoughts on the second PlayStation price hike.
It's out of control. I'm sure you guys said it. This is just too much. We've never seen this in our lifetime, and we've been here since the beginning of the consoles. You know, mm-hmm. We've seen them. Normally, prices go down, and we get it. Manufacturing parts cost more and whole thing, but yo, stop with the greed. Just take the hit. Be like, you know what, everybody, no bonuses this year. We got to keep it low or keep it steady. But no, they're just jacking it up. Like I was just telling my wife, she doesn't pay attention to stuff. I'm like, that PS5 that I got was the all day digital. Shout out to all day digital, and it was $400 when it launched. It's $600 now. Are you kidding me? For that, then go get yourself. And people are like, oh, you can't get a PC. Yeah, you can. At this point, you can. It may not be the best one, but you can get one with a decent card in it. Or you can get a portable handheld. Get yourself a Steam Deck if you're going to do that. It's just too much. It's just too much with all of this. The pricing and then the games and then Nintendo make it seem like they're doing everybody a favor. Oh, it's only 60 digital, 70.
Oh, yeah, the variable pricing bullshit.
Oh, that's cheaper. Bullshit is not cheaper. The 70 shouldn't be. Don't make it seem like that's the norm. That's not the norm. You know, it's like it's just full of it. But it's a weird point because if you're a PlayStation fan or a console gamer, you already have one. Now you're shit creek right now. If your shit breaks, you're fucked, you know, because then you got to go pay those prices. But I mean, they're pretty sturdy devices. I don't know many people that have had, besides the noise, you know, Brett had the issue with the fan noise, but the console still works. It's just loud. And if you've had PlayStations in before, 3, 4, 4 Pro, they're all loud. They're all loud. It's just the way it is. But it's just too much. And so is this the real question? Does this detract new people that were thinking of getting a console? Yeah. I don't know these people. I feel like if you're into consoles, you have them. You don't think about it anymore. It's like you have it and that's it. But yeah, those are the only people I can think of. But then you probably already talked about it. Also brings up with the whole Switch 2 and cutting down production. You know, that there's not a market. People just are being a little tighter with their wallet, you know, when it comes to. And when you start jacking up the price like this, you're not doing yourself any favors. So I don't understand when I read that statement. Oh, we're doing this for the games to keep them up to par, and we're keeping track of the trends. If you see the trends, then you know people aren't going to spend this type of money. You know, there's other things they're going to focus on. Food, housing, you know, electricity, you know, those are the essentials. A $600 console stuff, you tell your kid, you know what, keep playing the PS4 if you still have one. Just keep playing that shit, you know, and we'll figure it out later down the road or something. But yeah, it's a shame. And they have to know. I don't think, how could they think in their right mind that it's like, you know what, people are going to, they're going to be cool with it. They're going to accept it. No, they're not.
Yeah, the only problem is when PlayStation hiked up their price last time, console sales still went up, which is insane to me.
But wasn't there like a caveat with all that? It was the window that it happened. There's no competition. You know, the Xbox, no one's bothering with that. You know, and then also it wasn't comparable to the numbers before. So even though it was the number one selling, it wasn't hitting big numbers. They were actually taking a loss during this time period compared to last year.
Yeah, because they had to raise their projection because they actually sold more than they expected. Because people are just like, I want a PlayStation. So like Carlos said, this is like. people are teaching Sony they're willing to pay these prices. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. Maybe now this will finally be the straw that broke the camel's back.
That's got to be. When Rich and I were talking about the whole wrestling and WrestleMania tickets through the roof, and then eventually as we're getting closer, it's only like 3-4 weeks away, they start doing these crazy deals. Oh, 25% off. Oh, it's 360, 31% off. Oh, because they were like, shoot, no one's buying.
Nobody's buying.
And that's what needs to happen here. People, if you're on the fence about it, it's like, oh, maybe then don't buy it. Don't buy it. And this will force them. This will force them to be like, you know what? We made a rash decision. We can revert back. Because think about it, the price is still going to be high. You know what I mean? The price right now is high. So they're not really going to go too much. What was it? $900 for the Pro version? PS5 Pro?
Mm-hmm.
That's nuts. That's not for what? For a slight bump so your backpack on Days Gone looks a little better? Yeah. A little more detail? You know, that's what I kept seeing.
It's crazy. All right, let's move on to the next question. Even though he's not here, we have a sponsored question for Mr. Sir Rich-A-Lot. He's sponsoring an Assyrian Air Force question. This one's still related to what we've been talking about. Will GTA 6 be affected by the rise in console hardware prices, or will it not matter? This is the best question because GTA 6 is beyond gamers. It's like everything, you know? But here's the thing. Interesting twist, right? I said originally that the PS6 was going to do very well because of GTA 6 because effectively that, you know, no one's really going to buy an Xbox. But now if the Xbox is cheaper, now it's an option, right? You want that GTA 6, but you don't want to pay that kind of money. Xbox is looking pretty good right now, isn't it?
And that franchise is the exception. You know what
it
I mean?
It is like, the exception,
people saying, they're like, you know, I'm not going to buy any game this year. We always talk about the bro game. I get my sport game, my Call of Duty, and if the GTA drops, GTA. Everything else, you can wait until they're in the bargain bin. But so I could see, it hurts to say this, but I don't think it matters of the price or the current situation.
I think you might be right.
When they see GTA drop, they probably won't even care for the reviews. They'll be like, nope, got to get it. I got to get it. I know what to expect. It's got to be, even if it's like 50% similar to GTA 4 and 5 in regards to the content and the edginess, people will be on board because, one, they grew up with it. Two, it's GTA. And three, it has that open worldness, you know, and they said it's going to have that. You can jump from all the characters. That's a great experience. And the way they build their worlds, you know, it's new people behind it, but the formula is still there. Unless they screw the formula up, then,
you
know, like Saints Row.
Oh, God. So, yeah. What about the rest of you guys? What do you think? GTA going to be affected by any of this?
No, I think it's going to be, you know, status quo. Also, one thing I forgot to include, if I may, something that you talked about earlier, Tony, the whole thing with the console prices throughout time.
Yeah.
One of the reasons, like what you mentioned is correct too, the whole Moore's Law stuff. I mean, consoles get smaller and they get cheaper to produce, because they, you know, take less energy and stuff like that. And a couple other factors, but another thing is, the whole thing with, you know, R&D after a console is made, you know, they have to pay for all the R&D that was made throughout the, you know, the construction of the PlayStation 5 in this case.
Yeah.
But, you know, after, you know, 50 to 60 million consoles sold, you already made a profit on it. So you can afford to make it cheaper because all you want to do is get more of these to the consumers.
Yeah.
So and that's the whole point where, you know, people are still buying them. We're almost at 100 million PS5 consoles. So I don't think anything's going to change. And the whole thing with the making things smaller, I wonder if part of the equation that makes that cheaper as well, not just Moore's Law, is, you know, shipping, you know, factors where it's less weight, they're smaller, it's smaller console, so they can fit in tighter places, so you can fit more. So I wonder if that also goes into effect all the macro stuff.
Yeah, I think it would, you know, which is weird. It's like PlayStation made this weird fucking console that, you know, but yeah, no, it is interesting for sure. But yeah, what do you think about GTA 6, Carlos?
Yeah, GTA 6 is not going to be affected by anything. I think the question was it going to change in price? Or I forgot.
Oh, no, it's just whether the console, the higher console price is going to affect sales of GTA 6.
Oh, to quote a great philosopher, oh, hell no. GTA 6, if there is a game that's going to take the least amount of issue to this, it's going to be GTA 6. And it's going to be available on, it's probably going to be available on the Xbox Series S.
Yep.
And that's like one of the cheapest things you can play it on. And it's also going to be on PC, I think.
On PC?
Right? Day one?
No, it's not.
Yeah,
it's
that's
not.
What we don't know.
It's not day one.
But it's still not going to fit.
You know what they're going to do. It's the same strategy as before, you know? Mm-hmm. It's on consoles. Wait another year. Get it on PC. Motherfuckers on a double dip.
Yep.
Yep.
Oh, there's going to be double dips. There's going to be triple dips when the PS6 comes out. Yeah, let's go ahead and the Xbox the PC.
Pillar 5 and...
Go ahead, Brett.
Don't mind me. Sorry, I got another call, too.
Okay, never mind.
Oh, no worries. Brett's going to be saying something.
I'm on a tattoo consultation right now. Don't mind me.
Make your money.
No worries.
Brian, get in here, man. What are your thoughts, bro?
I don't think there's much of a thought to be had. I mean, it's GTA 6. Like, I think the only thing that can stop its sales is a meteor at this point. I mean, serious. I mean, like, come on.
I agree with that.
What else can generally stop its sales? Because recession, people will still buy it because it's GTA. If there's not enough consoles, people will somehow buy it because it's GTA. Like a plague, maybe? Yeah. Like a meteor? Like, you have to physically stop people from buying the game, and that's the only thing that would actually affect the sales.
Or if it starts bricking consoles, if it pulls like a Dead Rising. Remember when Dead Rising launched? I remember. Look at all these zombies. Why is my console smoking? Oh, shit. And so, yeah, unless it's something like that. But, yeah, everyone's going to get this.
Yeah. All right, let's move on. That one's pretty easy. GTA 6, unstoppable. Dre Day. This one is also related. I think you know what gamers are thinking about now. I'm a sucker for always having the best tech. I currently have the PS5 digital from launch day based on your experience with both the PS5 and PS5 Pro. Is it worth upgrading to the Pro before the price hike takes effect this week? I have held off from upgrading because of the lack of games and the price. But as the price keeps going up, it kind of makes me want to make the purchase before it's too late. I have a shocking answer for you guys. But Adam, I saw you're shaking your head.
There's no point. There's nothing that really pushes that you're like, man, I have to get it. Look how this game plays or something pops on the screen. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. Just wait. Keep your console. By that time, what do you think the next PlayStation, the official one, 6, what, 28, 29?
Yeah. Like, and
the year?
And that put a pin on that because that's a very important part for my answer.
Yeah, and that's it. Just wait off because then let's say even at that point you're not sure or there's a shortage of that. Then I'm sure the price will drop for all the other ones, the Pro and everything because everyone's trying to offload. So, yeah, right now there's no need. There's no need for it. There's nothing that a game right now that's like, oh, this doesn't work unless you have a Pro. That doesn't happen. Remember when the Switch tried to do that? Was it the Switch? Yeah, I think no, it was the 3DS XL when they were like, oh, we can do Super Nintendo emulation on it, but only on the XL Deluxe. Like, it doesn't work on the other one. What the hell, man? It's still a 3DS. You know, they came up with that bullshit, but the Pro doesn't have that issue. There's nothing, right, that I know of. There's no game that requires the Pro.
Yeah, the Resident Evil is like the only one, you know, and you have to be a fan of that. But no, my thing is, I was always telling people, don't bother with the PS5 Pro. If you have a PS5, you're good. My answer is different now. Get the PS5 Pro before April 2nd. You know why? Because the PS6 probably won't be out until 2029. And when that happens, it's going to be a few years until we get exclusive games for that thing. So if you get a PS5 Pro right now at this price, that's going to hold you out for a good 5 years, maybe 6 years. And it's going to cost less than a PS6. You know,
but then what if they do a big price cut later on? They're like, you know, what? This didn't work. This didn't sell. I can see them doing it.
They're not going to do it. Like, you know,
no money.
Actually, Adam, I want to get your thoughts because we, before you came on, we kind of agreed that even if magically the tariffs went away, the RAM should have went away, the console price is not going to go down. They're going to keep them up.
It all comes down to sales. And that's the only time it'll really hit. If people just say they don't want to buy it at that price. Because at this point, we already said it. Look at the install base. Everybody who wants one has one. So this is for new people. And those people are always on the fence. And those people are usually the ones that jump in when the consoles get smaller. Because they get cheaper, right?
Yeah, then but that, like, that we already had the quote-unquote smaller console now.
Yeah,
we had the slim.
Exactly.
You know, so yeah that's my advice is if you can... Because you're basically my thing is future proof yourself for the PS6 because that thing's going to cost way more than the PS5 Pro. And since there's going to be so much cross games or whatever, get the PSI Pro so you're future proof, right? But remember, this is before April 2nd. After that, don't buy that shit. Too fucking expensive, you know?
And then, so, but we saw this even now with the current pricing. When there was a Black Friday or the holiday sale, they dropped the price to what it used to be.
Yeah, what it used to be. It's fucking insane. Yeah. But now, Adam, they're going to drop the price to the original price hike price.
Yeah. Which is the price now.
It's fucking insane.
They think we're all stupid. We're all sheep.
Yeah.
They're not going to know. They think they're getting a deal.
Like, it's $100 off. I'm right. Like, hold on. You realize even $100 off, it's still $150 more than it used to be.
Yeah. Hey, that's the Nintendo logic right now. $60 digital, $70. We're saving money. We're helping you.
Yeah.
Suck a bit.
What about the rest of you guys? You think you should get a PS5 Pro now before the price hike? Remember, price hike is April 2nd, which I believe is Wednesday. But yeah. Yeah,
sometime this week.
This is killing me?
Yeah.
I mean, if you really want to,
yeah.
I'm not going to, I'm not going to say like, oh, you shouldn't get it or anything. Cause yeah. It's your prerogative. I mean, for me, it's a definitely a no. So, it's just too much, even before the price hike.
Don't make it.
And I don't play as many games to justify it after already owning a PS5. You know, I play maybe, or at best 5 games a year on the PS5.
Ooh.
So that, I still don't.
That's a good caveat, Carlos. If you play a lot of PlayStation, consider it. If you don't bother. That's a good.
If you play a lot of PlayStation, wouldn't you already have it? Because you're like a hardcore player.
That is also true.
You're a nerd.
You don't need. Yeah, exactly. You don't need somebody to tell you. You would have already got it because you're like, shit, I got to have the newest and hottest.
Yeah, no, if you're like Carlos, don't bother then. Don't bother.
I gave my PS5 to my son. That's his Fortnite NBA 2K machine right there. That's what.
Yeah, I gave my PS5 to my youngest nephew. You know, I mean, it's happy as fuck. but yeah, anybody else want to jump in on this before we move on? I'll take that as a no. So we'll move on. George W. Cush in the house. First question. He goes, there has been a report that the first video game I ever played and one of my favorites ever, Ocarina of Time, will be remade this year. Did any of you play the original game and are intrigued to try the remake? If you are, do you hope for a faithful 101 recreation or a FF7 style remake style? I am excited, but fear that the more mature themes and creepy stuff will be cut from the game, like the torture chambers with blood all around the Shadow Temple. At least it's not being remade by a Western studio, because we all know we would get a non-binary Link and ugly-ass Princess Zelda and Ganondorf being... I'm not going to read the rest. You're going to get us in trouble.
I think that's a bright question. I think he played all those.
Yeah, I want to caveat with this. George W. Cush, did you ever play the remake on 3DS? That's what I want to know.
I heard my name. I'm back. What's up?
Apparently, there's rumors of... another Ocarina of Time remake coming out this year, and he just wants to know, do we want it to be faithful or do we want it to be like Final Fantasy remake?
I mean, what are you going to do, turn it turn-based?
Yeah.
They can make it little people. Remember what was that? That Links Between Time? What was it? The one where they did the top-down and made them all QT, little?
Yeah, no, again, my main question is, have you not played the 3DS remake? I don't know if he has or not.
Who did you give it to Blue Point?
Yeah.
Oh, wait.
Yeah, so yeah, again, we don't know. That'll be interesting. Is you're gonna make a remake of a remake? Would it be like with I don't keep up with Nintendo news, so it would this be like a Breath of the Wild style graphics and shit? Like, I don't know. I don't have a history with this game. I only first played it on 3DS, which I thought was fantastic, by the way, but I don't really have an attachment regardless. What about you, Brett? Or you just don't care anymore? Well, you don't even have a Nintendo. You don't give a fuck.
Yeah, I don't have a Nintendo. Ocarina of Time is one of my favorite games ever, but yeah, I don't have a Nintendo. I'm not paying fucking $500 to play that shit again. I'll just, find it on the computer somewhere.
Yeah, there is emulation. Does anybody else here care about this?
Nope. Yeah, I mean, I played it. I didn't play the 3DS version, so I skipped that one. But, I would be curious to try it out if it's a faithful remake, that is. You know, if they make some, BS where, they skip a lot of stuff or they make things, different, then I might not be interested. But yeah, I mean, I played the original one a long ass time ago. would be good to go back.
I'm looking at it now. So the rumor came from Nate the Hate, who has a kind of actually good track record when it comes to Nintendo stuff. And even though it would be another remake, it kind of makes sense. We're not going to get another Zelda game for a while. So this is another stopgap, you know, if this is true, you know. But, you know, I'm not really invested, so it doesn't matter to me. But, you know, we'll see what happens. Because, again, this would be another remake. All right. Another question here from Mr. George W. Cush. This one's fun. And I'll, you know, go around the room here for this one. What is the first game that you ever played? And do you still love it? I'm going to go around the room now. Adam, I'll start with you. What is the first game you ever played? And do you still like it?
It doesn't exist anymore. It was on the Atari 2600. It was a football game.
Oh, shit.
That I played, and I remember that they wouldn't even line up in the center. It's like you had a down, and if it was on the right side of the field, the left side, they all lined up. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure that's not how this works. Hmm. You know, you're supposed to be in the center. But, yeah, it was a football game on the Atari because my dad brought over it to me. He's like, oh, yeah, I got you this. You know, he worked in wholesale electronics. He got me that and a printer. I don't know why. Maybe they were getting rid of the printer. It didn't sell, but I had a printer, and I didn't know how to use that shit. I was young. But, I remember the football game because he was like, oh, you'd like this. He had a picture of a football player on it, all tough. You know, that's not how it looked when you played it. But that's what it was. So that's what I remember. And, no, I do not play that now. And I'm sure you can. I'm sure there's, you know, there's ROMs for everything. But there's no fun in that. So, no.
Yeah. Brett, do you remember what the first video game you played was? And do you still like it if you're able to play it?
Legend of Zelda. And yes.
Nice. The original, right, on NES?
Gold cartridge. I was playing that bitch before I could read. I wandered around until I found the next dungeon.
Were we special if we had the gold cartridge, or were they all gold cartridges? I thought I was special when we got that. We're not, right?
For like the first year or two, they were gold. And then like the later printings, like after that, they went gray.
It was just a cartridge with a gold stick. Okay. Because I remember opening, this is a gold box. And then when I was like, oh, it's gold. It looks so different. It's so great. I thought it was special. And then I remember telling somebody years later, and he was like, no, man, they were all gold.
Oh, yeah, you ain't shit. Oh,
no. Now, you know,
it was the early, it was the early printings. It wasn't the first printings, but it was the early printings, right?
Yeah, it definitely. I mean, they hyped it up. I remember Nintendo Power and all that shit, and I was like, well, I got to get this game. But
I've seen a lot of the gray ones. Like, I would say the gray ones outnumber the gold ones. Like, finding a gold one is still a little tough.
See, there you go. Maybe I am special. Well, I don't have that shit anymore. So,
what's weird is I do. But what's weird is finding the silver one was harder. But that game is shit, so nobody wants to, which is probably why.
It's funny. What about you, Carlos?
Super Mario Bros. And yeah, still,
Now, wait, here's the thing. Super Mario Bros. In the arcade?
No, no.
All right, because that was NES. My first exposure was in the arcade playing it. And then I was like, oh, shoot, you can play this at home later on when the Nintendo. But when it first popped up, remember Super Mario Bros. In the sewer with all the crazy shit? That was in the arcade. That was an arcade game.
Yeah. All right. Anything else, Carlos, you want to add to that? Mario stories?
Other than the fact that, you know, it was almost pretty much like the fifth player to play it. Like, I always wait behind my brother and sister, my older brother and sister, and my cousins. So whenever they were done, like, I would get to play it, but it was pretty limited. But I really enjoyed it. The one that I did get to play a lot afterwards was Super Mario 3. Like, nice. That's the one where I actually got to play a bunch.
True, man. That was in the movie The Wizard. Remember that? That went viral.
California.
Even if you weren't into video games, I think that was the big reveal at the time. That
you're
watching it in the movie and it's part of a tournament. I was like, is that a game? Is that really happening? Yeah, that's coming out. And
exclusive.
It was exclusive. Adam,
imagine the new Super Mario Galaxy movie that shows up. It teases a game. A new Mario game,
and it's under my seat at the theater.
Yes.
You know what? They're selling T-shirts now. Okay, so I don't put it past them at all to say, "Hey, by the way, we got this new game exclusive, whatever, and you can get it when you leave the theater. Just go up to the concession, refill your popcorn bucket, and pick up a game." Wouldn't be surprised because now they're selling shirts. Before it was just popcorn buckets and souvenir stuff. Now they're actually selling clothes, so I wouldn't put it past them to sell video game.
That's funny, Brian. What about you?
I almost nearly stole my answer. Mine is Super Mario Brothers 2.
Ooh.
Oh, no. Man. Was it Doki Doki?
Yeah. Doki Doki, yeah. That's what originally was.
Doki Doki.
So yeah, again, I don't remember much of it, but I just remember that that was the game. Do I still enjoy it? I don't think I played the Super Mario Brothers, well, a 2D Mario Brothers. No, I played the Game Boy. There was one on the Game Boy. I don't remember which one that was.
Yeah, the Super Mario Land. That was a Super Mario Land. What was the most confusing part of Super Mario Brothers 2 for you? Confusing. Like, you looked at it and you're like, what? This can't happen. Like, what the hell am I doing?
I think it was just the flag. No, not flag. Just the whole game was confusing because again, at that age, you don't really understand games that much.
The reason why I asked, because that was the first game where you can jump on the creature and then scoop him up while you're still standing. Yeah. How am I doing that? How am I standing on it and then lifting it above my head? That doesn't make any sense.
Video
and
games.
I was so confused. Exactly. And that bothered me. Every time I played and I did it, I'm like, how am I doing this? Forget about the fact that I'm going through doors and all this wacky shit and it's happening and I'm picking up fruit and throwing it. But I'm like, how am I standing on it and then picking it up?
Yeah, because it makes sense when you do that with the plants in the game, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But you could do that with the enemies. Yeah, very strange game, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did they ever make a sequel of that one, the Doki Doki?
I'm not sure. That is a fantastic question.
Right, fantastic question. I think I'd like to play that one again.
Yeah.
Please try that.
So, yeah, for me, you know, and I've told this story many times, but it's a fun story, you know, because I came here from Dominican Republic when I was 7 years old. I didn't know what a video game even was. No conception of it whatsoever, right? So one day I was at, with my dad, one of his friends' bodegas. His friend owned a bodega, one of his drinking buddies and shit. And I see this, you know, again, this big box with a TV on it, buttons and a stick, and these little characters moving around. I'm like, what the fuck is that? So the owner gives me a bunch of quarters. He's like, yo, you put them in that slot right there. Go play. I'm like, what? Okay. You know, and I go, and I just instinctively got it. Yeah, the first game I ever played, and yes, I still do love this game, Golden Axe, bro. Remember Golden Axe? That was the shit, man. By the way, Death Adder, he's now in fucking Shinobi, the new Shinobi. He's a boss now in the DLC, nice. Which is crazy. But yeah, that game, you know, started all. And then afterwards, you know, I would eventually get a Nintendo, you know, El Nintendo, you know, Game Boy, all that shit. First game I got on the Game Boy was Tetris, you already know. And fucking Nintendo came with Mario, you know, and then we got Contra, Castlevania. Man, good times, bro. That's when gaming was really good, you know?
And then your principal was happy, too, because then when your Game Boy got confiscated, your mom said you didn't get it back, he was like, that's okay, I give it to my kid.
Yeah, now that's it.
My kid has all the fun, you know, and look at little Tony. No fun for you.
No fun for me, man. No fun for me. Fucking assholes.
That still gets me mad.
Some bullshit.
The school should have still gave it back. I understand your mom and the lesson stuff, but the school should be like, this they is never, too expensive. We can't.
They never gave that shit back. Like, oh, we're keeping this motherfucker.
Oh, my Lord. Oh,
man. All right. Another one. Ooh, Mr. Eurocar 9. Very interesting. All right. If DLSS 5 uses generative AI to generate frames, wouldn't it be easier to train DLSS with 3D models of the game's assets to do this without actually predicting overlaying said assets? Seems to me like this would be the best compromise. What do you think? You mean just have DLSS do what it's always been doing? Machine learning? You know, look at what's actually there and make it look better, not fucking, you know, put a filter on it. Carlos, I know you know Eurocar 9 very well. So is that what he's kind of asking? Because I'm like, hey, that sounds like normal DLSS to me, you know?
Well, to an extent, yes, but not completely. The whole thing with DLSS 5 is it's predicting using generative AI to see what it thinks it should do. And I'm like, well, how about we get rid of, like we train it where it's like, oh, well, here's all the 3D character assets for Resident Evil, Resident Evil 9. It's like, well, this is how Grace Hancock should look. Oh, Ashcroft. This is how Grace Ashcroft should look. Just make sure to generate her in 4K, you know? But
they don't know how to use AI to be not retarded about it. You're talking about using sense.
Yes.
To ensure a level of quality control. Like, you're thinking of like using it like a visual spell check. No. They need to use it to fire people and pay Nepo babies more money. That would be sense.
Yeah. I don't know how to follow up with it. That was perfect. You know, but yeah, my answer is still like, just do regular DLSS. You don't have to do all that, you know, that generative stuff.
Well, here's what I don't understand. Mm-hmm. Why are you giving this tool to us? You should be giving this tool to the developers and then letting them build on top of it. Not taking the developer's thing and building on top of it. Like, you are pouring the foundation on top of a house. The fuck?
Yeah.
I'm not even 100% against you using this as like a generative scaffolding tool.
Yes.
Because like, honestly, that's what Unreal 5 already fucking is, right? It's a skeleton that people steal and put stuff on top of. That's what the entire fucking game industry is. We abandoned custom engines a decade ago, right? So like, just use it at the bottom level. I don't give a shit, but stop putting it on the top. Stop putting cake on top of my frosting, you bitch.
No, I agree with that. And I said this before, but obviously people on Twitter don't fucking listen. I don't have a problem that they're using generative AI for this. I have a problem that it looks like fucking shit. That's my problem. And Brett, like you said, we're not getting the developers in on this. The developers are like, wait, what? What the fuck is this? They were like, what? Like, come on, son.
Yeah, like you could relieve a developer's workload. And instead, you just fire them. Like, I mean, I understand, like, where you went from point A to point B. Like, you're just like, oh, we could have a lower work week. Oh, if we have a lower work week, I could just fire people and have the same work week. The fuck? Okay, sure, I guess. Like, if you just want to, like, rush the Blade Runner dystopia, fuck, man.
It's crazy, man. What about the rest of you guys? What do you think about, you know, using DLSS 5 the way Eurocar here outlined? Brian, you could get in on this.
Yeah, that does make more sense, because that's how I imagine AI to be used in games in terms of the output. Because, again, it just makes more sense just to make the game like better resolutions, better frame rates, because these are things that people care about. Using AI to get weird AI faces, it still just disturbs me, Tony, those images of grace.
Again, I've not played
game, so I'm not as familiar with her face as probably you guys are, but even then it's just like, it's just something wrong with the face.
But you're familiar with the face it generated because you've seen on other fucking AI models.
Exactly, you
know? That's the problem.
So yeah, again, I'm with Tony here. Like, it just looks bad. And again, I've seen some really good AI faces that's like, okay, this is like really decent, but that's like a bad AI face. It's like a cheap AI face. I think that's my issue with it. It just looks cheap, and that's the problem. Not cheap as in not expensive. It just looks like a cheap, like someone just threw like a quick prompt and then took the first draft and said, cool, we're done. Next story. Type cheap.
It's crazy.
What do we expect? Yeah. What do we want? I hear like, oh, I want it to look good. I want it to look... Do you want it to look real? Because that's as good as it's
going
to
get. No. I just want
real. Yeah. FMV.
Like, just keep doing what you've been doing with DLSS. Make it look good for 4K. You know, make it so, you know, if you have a lower end machine, you could, you know, bring it back up to, you know, look good and shit. Like, I don't want anything revolutionary. Just keep doing what you've been doing. You know, I don't want I don't want hyper realistic graphics or any of this shit. Just make the game look good. You know, that's it.
But even that, it can't really work, because then you have another component that has to work with that, and that's the TV or the monitor.
Yeah.
It has to support it and translate and make it look good. So not everyone has the same experience. So I don't know. I see like everybody nitpicking. It's like, oh, I need a little tweak here. I need the DLS. I need that. Well, everyone's going to have a different experience depending on how they're displaying, whether it's a high-end monitor or ultra-wide, a 1080p because you didn't upgrade to the 4K one.
Yeah, my main thing is don't make it look like AI slop. That's all I ask. I think that's a simple thing to ask. Just don't make it look like that, you know?
Or just have somebody quality control. What happened to that whole group? What happened to the group that
they got fired because they thought they could use AI? It's insane.
I love when I get, because, you know, I get the emails. You know, I
get the emails.
And they're always talking about
the emails.
Yeah, and they're like, please respect our embargoes and the whole thing. And they're wrong here. They're like, oh, this is April of 2024. This shit, you mean April 2026. You're screwing shit up. Who's writing this?
AI.
You
know what I mean?
And I was like, you know what? Because of your mess up, I could just post all the crap and I'd be okay with it. Because you're like, you broke and borrowed. No, I didn't.
I did. Look at the email,
I'm
bitch.
2 years. I'm 2 years, okay? I waited 2 years for it. Doesn't matter that you screwed up. I didn't. I could read. You know, but
yo, it's crazy.
Gotta have something.
Yo, I'm not gonna name any names, but yeah, I first noticed that last year. I was exchanging emails with one PR person. I'm like, this person writes very strange. And then I realized, oh, they're using AI. Because they would always be repeating what I had said. You could just tell they just clicked on the auto shit, you know, to fill it in, you know? Yeah, so but now I see that shit all the time. You know, like once you know what AI writing looks like, you can't unsee it. And it goes the other way around too. Because it's not just for written text. I'm watching YouTube videos with an actual real person, but you could hear the reading off of AI script.
Oh, yeah.
Not this, it's that.
It's dead how they say fucking the names.
Giveaway, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, again, it's a real person. It's an actual real person, but they're reading off an AI script, you know? Or if the shit's just too long, like these fucking tweets I see, like, bro, you know for a fact you didn't write 200 fucking thousand words on this fucking topic. You went to ChatGPT to write that shit. You know what? How about this? If you're going to go to ChatGPT to write this long ass tweet, then I'm going to go to Grok and summarize it in 5 bullet points. How about that? Man. Like, so who's reading all this shit?
You're on an iPhone. I have an iPhone. Have you been getting where you're serious? If it's like, hey, link ChatGPT. Link it up. We could help you. Link it. It's forcing. Now it's really pushing.
Oh, no, I haven't gotten that yet, but...
Oh, yeah. I get it all the time. Yeah. It's Siri telling me. It was like, and I got my British dude that's telling me shit. And he was like, hey, man, I could really help you out if you want to activate ChatGPT. Go into the settings. I'm like, you added this in the settings? And sure enough, there it's there.
Wow.
Link it up. I'm like, no, I don't know. I don't want that. No.
It's interesting, man. But yeah, moving on here. Thank you to Eurocar for sponsoring a Quell questions, or shout out to him. Quell asked a lot of questions tonight. Fuck, my man went ham.
Is he?
You know, another generous person, Romuda, took some as well, you know. But we'll get to those when we get to those. The question is, based on what she has done since becoming the new CEO of Xbox, do you give Asha Sharma a thumbs up or a thumbs down? Too early. That's what I say. The bitch has been in charge for, 2 weeks?
Hasn't done anything. She hasn't done anything yet. She's done a lot of chitty-chat, but...
Yeah. I'll give her one of these, you know, like sideways thumb. Like, I can't grade her. She hasn't been there that long, you know?
Push something out. Make a change. She's talking about price changes, dropping some stuff, making plans. All right, you can say all this stuff.
She hasn't done anything. Yeah, so...
And most of the things that they've already announced have been pre-planned. So,
yes.
You know.
Yeah, because what was she getting credit for last week? I forgot. So she was getting credit for something. But it's like you said, Carlos, it was probably already in the works, you know?
This is an Xbox thing?
Yeah, getting rid of that, that was probably already gone, you know, after the Sarah Bond thing, you know?
Exactly. Like, you can't give her credit. They literally fired Sarah Bond with most of the leaks coming out saying that no one, hardly anyone in Xbox agreed with that messaging.
Yeah.
No, I think that.
Well, Quell saying she did that. No, she didn't. That was already in the works. She hasn't been there that long to actually have enacted any changes. You know what? Quell asks us this question again at the end of the year. Then it'll be interesting, you know? All right. Moving on here. Some proper Quell questions. With Sony resetting the market for console prices, do you feel this coming generation will mimic the last generation where the pro consoles become the new base price for the next generation of consoles? I hope not, because that means the next base. Oh, fuck. Oh! So basically, you're seeing the base price of the PS6, $900.
We're seeing.
And it's going to be less. It's going to be more than that.
Yeah, we're seeing this industry just become more niche when the price keeps getting that high. Because then it's no longer for little Timmy and everyone for Christmas.
The regular now man is being priced out, bro.
No, exactly. They're like, you know what? No, we'll do something else. Remember, I think you got a bike. You want to go do that? Or you want to play catch?
Go outside, motherfucker.
Go outside. You like to play the baseball? We got a glove. We could do that. You don't need to go and buy these game stuff. Yeah, it brings back memories of Neo Gio. Going to Toys R Us, seeing that in a case, and seeing that ridiculous price for it. The games cost $200. Mm-hmm. There's something's ingrained in my brain, and that's one of them. I never owned a Neo Geo, and I never paid those crazy prices for the games. And I remember seeing it. I'm like, next to my Nintendo game that cost $30.
Yeah.
I'm like, who is buying that? Who's buying that? And this is what's happening. This is what's going to happen. It's going to get so expensive to the point that as we get older, and then we're going to remember, and then younger kids, I'm like, dang, you actually paid for games? All my games mm-hmm. are free now, and I play on my phone and tablet. I don't buy a console. Yep. You know what I mean? Look at the number one games, platforms. Platforms. You know, Roblox is considered a platform now
yeah.
because of all the different types of games. And it's the number one. It surpassed PC, Steam, Xbox, PlayStation. And that's a free-to-play. You know, you can't compete with that then. So they want to keep pricing up and doing this. They're squeezing the consumers to the point that we will, you know, we'll either age out or we're like, you know, we'll move on to something else. We'll go to PC. Just focus on that. Games are always on sale. It's cheap. You can get yourself a little portable one. Oh, the exclusives, you know what? No one will be playing a damn PlayStation, and it's going to force you to put those games on a PC. And so we'll just ride this out. We'll wait.
It's crazy, man. But yeah, what do the rest of you guys think about this? You know, are we getting, is this a taste of things to come when it comes to console prices, next generation?
But last generation didn't do this, if I recall correctly. I mean, the PS4 Pro was what, the same price as the PS4 when it released?
Yes, that's true.
And
it became the standard. That was it.
Yeah. So this generation that kind of bucked the trend, unless something happened with even before that, because. Yeah, I mean, was the 500 was the cheapest PS5 digital one?
The digital was 400.
$399.
And then 500 for the
regular
disc one. For the disc.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and then it was like 650 for the Pro, I think, or something around there. 600, 650 release. And then it raised up price like twice.
I think $699 was the original PS5 Pro. Then it went up by $50, and then it went up by
$200. Wasn't it 800 or 900 if you got the space gray one, like the throwback edition? I think that was the only one that was really expensive.
Yeah.
It was around $100.
Yeah, it was. So are you saying Coel's wrong?
Yeah.
He could be, you know?
No, I think, this generation, you know, is completely different from anything.
Yeah,
it is. There's just no pattern to any of this. This is starting a new trend.
I agree. Because I'm like, we never
seen next generation. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, it's
bad. not multiple times. Like,
excuse me.
I think it's like a super rare occasion where it goes up, but like goes up twice, and at this price level,
within that time for frame with the window, I could see it going up again.
They
just don't want to take any kind of loss. And any profits. I mean, you can't say in a release that we understand the climate of the current economic situation of the world and give that whole thing and then say, yeah, but we're going to jack the price up. No. Take a loss. Take a hit. Or just to keep it steady. Be like, hey, we're not going to make money. Everybody should be understanding, like in your email. They should be understanding. See what's going on in the world.
Oh, they understand that they're going to lose money.
They want to hit the customers. They want to hit the customers. They're going to lose money. They're going to lose it.
Yeah. All right, another one from Mr. Coel. Epic just laid off over 1,000 employees, and even their own producers say they can't predict a long-term impact. Are we watching the limits of live service everything era? This could be the end, because this was the live service game to end all live service games, and even that shit's not doing it anymore. You know? It's interesting, man.
To be fair.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, it's so big. So big. Like when I see my son log in, it's just so much going on. All the stuff. They support all the skins from like day one.
Yeah.
So you can have an older. And so every time you do updates and tweaks to the character models, that means you got to do it for all the older ones.
Hmm.
You know, it's a lot of work to do that because he gets it. He'll have his old one, he'll play it, and then it'll have a touch up because it has to match the current version that's available now, the world and stuff.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work. So I could see. Remember, years ago we were always hearing about the grind. Wasn't that the big issue too? That they were always the workers, the programmers. They had to constantly work long hours and do all this stuff. It was a grind.
Yeah.
It was a hard job.
Oh, so crunch or whatever.
Yeah. There you go. The crunch. It was a big deal with Fortnite. Like, they have to do it. They have to, because it's a live service game. Always something happy. Always updating. Always something breaking. It's always that they got all these other platforms available on it. Now, you know, they got their own version of Rocket League that's on there too. There's a bunch. Yeah.
Everything.
Everything. It's an everything game in a box.
So, the earthing game.
That's why I was really surprised that they laid off so many, because I was like, well, then that means how many do you already have? They probably have a massive team of people working on that game since it's alive.
Yeah. And again, you know, we talk about this on the Thursday show. It's like, you know, remember they overhired a bunch of people, you know, not just Epic, everybody during COVID, you know, and now the chickens are coming home to roost, you know? It's crazy, man. This industry, bro.
It's all gone.
Oh, God, what's the industry?
It's just crazy. I mean, the price of games, all these bundles, 5-6 different versions of one game, all different pricing. It's overcomplicated, the whole thing, and it's very expensive. It's no longer, oh, yeah, you know, I'll just go play this, and I'll just buy one game. What happened to going to Blockbuster and just trying them out and renting?
No, Blockbuster doesn't exist anymore.
That doesn't exist anymore. The mom and pop rental shop, that doesn't exist. You're asked out. You hope that your game has a demo, or you go on YouTube and then you watch somebody, or on Twitch and you watch somebody play it to figure out, hey, should I buy this? Is it worth buying? And before you could get hands on, you have to actually buy it. And who wants to do that? Everybody hates it. You hate spending money on a game and be like, damn, this is garbage. Another ET. What bullshit.
All right. Go for some sponsored questions. Mr. Ramudif, helping out Kuel here. Do you feel like gamer trust is a currency that big studios and publishers just don't seem to care about anymore? And if so, is this a major underlying trend that has caused some of the industry's problems? It's one of them. You know, the problem is nowadays, it's not just directly, let's make a game that people like. It's like, let's make a game that's going to tick all these boxes, that's going to satisfy our shareholders, that has to meet
microtransactions,
all this bullshit. You know,
battle passes. Yeah.
So, yeah. Brett, you want to say something? You talk about this shit all the time.
Sorry, I was busy yelling at my dogs. Can you repeat
the question? Oh, yeah, sure. I'll just repeat the whole thing. Do you feel like gamer trust is a currency that big studios and publishers just don't seem to care about anymore? And if so, is this a major under? Yeah, go ahead. You talk about this all the time.
They give zero shits about reputation. I honestly think that Cyberpunk was kind of a nexus point for us. Ever since Cyberpunk, and we've proven that a game can be released in a completely unfinished state, and like, it'll still make money. It's fine. Like, we don't care. They know we don't care.
Yeah.
We know that they know that we don't like there is no such thing as trust anymore. That there are a few key developers that court that trust, and outside of that, they're like, fuck them.
Yeah, no, I agree.
At least the big developers.
Yeah, you're right, because the smaller guys, they still do care, you know. Mm-hmm. It's a sad state. Again, they got to satisfy the shareholders, tick all the boxes, all this bullshit, every games by committee. We're the last ones in the assembly line, you know. It's crazy. What about the rest of you guys? Anything you also want to add on this?
No, pretty much agree with. I do agree with everything Brett said.
Yep. said it best. All right, another one from Mr. Quells. Has the industry lost? Okay, this is interesting. Has the industry lost the ability to ship finished games, or have player expectations evolved beyond what's realistic? Why not both?
They don't care about a finished game, because they can always update it.
They could update it.
They have a date that has to be released to satisfy the higher-ups, and that's it. Finished or not, doesn't matter. They'll take a hit of the bad press. Like, don't worry, a patch is coming. I get the emails. You get them too, Tony.
Yep, I do.
Oh, incoming patch coming. Please don't talk about this part. We're fixing it day one. It'll be there. It's like, doesn't mean it's going to work. Yeah, you got a patch coming.
A really good example of this is Crimson Desert. That game is not going to be the same game 8 months from now that it is. It's not the same game now that it was at launch. With all these patches, you know? So this is the norm, and it's been the norm for a long time. Bro, I remember writing a blog post about this on Cool Stuff the Blog, Adam, which you were also on, and I complained about this. I'm like, what's up with all these? This was 2010. And I'm like, why are these games coming out unfinished? What the hell is going on now? And that was 16 years ago. I'm complaining about this shit, you know? And that's why it got worse.
Yeah, I laugh when people are like, well, you know, I'm just a physical guy. I'm just going to get the physical disc. I'm not going to deal with that. Well, then the one that, whatever you're playing there, if the networks go down and say, yeah, you know what, we're down, you could just play whatever. It's a broken game. You're going to have, you have a stack of broken games on your shelf because they're not going to have the updates and the patches and the fixes for all the bugs. So whatever's there is what you're stuck with. Not a good experience. I remember, what was it? That had massive changes. That was almost a completely game. They made so many changes. It was
No Man's Sky?
Uncharted. No Man's Sky was another one, but Uncharted 4, I remember, had a bunch of patches to fix all kinds of stuff. And it was like a different experience, a lot of the tweaks and stuff they made. And I was like, damn. And I, later on, I had to do something. I got another PlayStation, and I remember popping it in. And I, that's when I really noticed the menu was different, the changes. Yeah. I was like, shit, I need to update this. It's a different game.
Yeah,
but yeah, No Man's Sky was another one.
That's another one, big one. Yeah. What do you say, Carlos?
Yeah, I'm not sure what is it. Is it deadlines? Is it just the comfortability of knowing that they can patch everything after the fact? Is it bad QA testing? I don't know what the biggest factor into this is, because you know we're not in those meetings and those boardrooms where they make these decisions. So I wonder really what is the biggest factor. I know it's probably a combination of all of them. It's
all of them. I'm like, I'm taking A, B, C, and D. I'm taking all of them. You know, it's all that.
I'm filling shit. All the bubbles on the test.
That's it. Like, you know, like you basically asked me, which one of these is it? My answer is yes.
Yep. And it's, I mean, because, I mean, they released games in the past complete.
Mm-hmm.
That was a thing. You know,
back in the 70s, and yeah, that's what they did. that bullshit football game, I'm sure now they would have fixed it. And they'd be like, oh, wait a minute, when the guys go down, they don't actually line to the right or left. It's always center. Yeah. The game was shipped broken, yeah, right out the
but
box.
But no, now it's expected. Patch it. The game will get better, you know? What the fuck?
Also, I mean, think about it. Another aspect to this. Think about a game like Ghouls and Ghosts,
yeah,
and Contra. They would patch those in today's date
to make them easy
because they're too hard.
Yep.
Yep.
No, you're 100%.
So that's another factor.
I've never finished Ghouls and Ghosts.
Neither have I.
I did like Maximo, and I'm surprised they didn't keep going with that. Remember that was a PlayStation 2 game, Maximo.
I remember that.
3D world and same thing, you know, your clothes fall off and all that stuff. It was in that the Ghouls and Ghosts series. I'm surprised they didn't brought it back, but I did like that. Hard game.
Yeah. All right. Anybody else want to jump in on this? Unfinished games? All right. If not, we'll move on. Last questions of the night. Mr. Lego Bro, questions. We got a few here. How close is the demise of the game industry to the doomsday clock? To quote Iron Maiden, 2 minutes to midnight. We're getting there, you know. By the way, I think the actual doomsday clock is like 57 seconds or some shit like that. Yeah, it's getting close, you know. They moved it forward a little bit. They do it.
Still running on 14th Street? They're still doing that? The clock is still up?
Yeah, they're still doomsday clock though. That's the financial. It's how much money we owe. Yeah, it's the debt.
Oh, the national debt. Oh shit.
Yeah. I used to think that was an atomic clock. It's like, no, it's the debt. Here's the thing. The gaming industry is not gonna die, but I think there will be, we've been in a crash. It's just very slow, you know. But there will come a point, you know, we've been saying this on this show, right? And this is a big if GTA 6 doesn't hit the way they expect, I think that'll be a video game crash, right? And just like the 1983 one, things will crash. There's been a lot of lost jobs and shit, but then something else will come up. You know, maybe something better, because the way we're doing games now doesn't work. You know, everything, you heard the Thursday show. The average AAA game costs $300 million to make. That shit is not sustainable, bro. Something's got to give, you know? And if it has to crash, so be it. You know, games costing so much, consoles costing so much, you're not really getting, like, your money's worth and shit. Motherfuckers getting laid off everywhere. This is not a good state to be in. Oh, but they released Resident Evil 9. Everything's just fine. Bro, yes, we're getting some good games here and there, but look at the entirety of the industry right now. You cannot tell me we're in a healthy state. You know, go ahead, Carlos.
When, oh, go ahead.
I'll go for it.
Yeah, go for it, Adam.
I was just going to say, it's like, and then when the prices go up so high, let's say $70, if that becomes a norm, and then an $80, less people are going to buy less games.
Yeah.
That Resident Evil, they're like, okay, that's my game for the next 6 months. You know what I mean?
That's when how it used to be back in the day when you were a kid. You know, that's your game for 6 months, bitch.
And that's it. And then how does that help all the other games that come out in that window? It doesn't.
Yeah.
And then it's going to hurt across the board. If you keep them lower, or you come up with like, all right, this game maybe $30, $40, you come up with some kind of plan, because right now just going up and up and up, it's just people are just gonna be more picky with what they purchase.
Yeah.
And then they're just gonna go for one. But like, you know what? If I want that game, I must really want that game. Man, what was that Chris Rock with the bullet? The whole thing is like, you know what? Guns aren't the problem. Bullets. If they make bullets real expensive, then you know that person really wanted to kill that guy.
Sounds like a Chris Rock thing.
That does.
He's like, yo, he was pissed at the guy. He goes, man, I'm going to get a second job. I'm going to save up all my money, and I'm going to buy a bullet, and I'm going to kill you. And if he dies, like, yo, he really hated him. And that's the thing with the games. It was like, yo, if it gets $70, $80 and that's the norm, I could see a lot of parents when their kid wants. I was like, you know what? One game. Before, man, two or three hit it. No. You must really want that. And I want to see you playing that shit all the time.
You better beat that shit. Yep.
Beat that. I don't want to see it on the shelf. No. Well, no shelf. It'll be digital because they're not going to do a physical. But yeah, no, it's hurting on all fronts. That's why it's like, yeah, what, the $300 million? Who's paying for it? We are, because the prices of everything go up. And then what if we don't pay for it? Then they all get laid off. That's it. Then they're like, oh, mass layoff. Can you believe this? Yeah, I can, because the game sucked. Nobody bought it, and that's how it works. The people that are lingering around are supposed to be making all the microtransaction and keeping that battle pass flowing, right? And now they have nothing else to do because no one's buying the shit and no one's playing it. So stop.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Yeah, there'll always be games that would be successful, like Expedition 33, like, you know, Baldur's Gate 3. All these types of games that will still be successful. Resident Evil 9, Tony mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like I agree with Tony, and Chris also has brought this up in the past. It's like we're in a crash right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's just we can't see, you know, in a macro sense to even, you know, detect that, or at least most people can't. So I feel like the only thing that would technically kill the gaming industry is if people actually went outside.
Yeah.
If that's not the case, then I feel like gaming is perpetually going to still exist.
Yeah.
I lost that shirt, Carlos. I had the achievement unlocked, and it shows the guy just walking outside. You know, like that was achievable.
Achievement unlocked, go outside.
Exactly, just go outside. It just shows him going outside. It's like, yep, that too.
Yeah, quoting Paris, he said, go outside and drink some water. You had some of these guys online, man. It's crazy. All right, next question here from Mr. Lego Bro. Why is it so hard for game developers to find the magic in a game? In the past, we had a lot of great games that gamers flocked to. Now, not so much. I brought it up before. When you have to make a game at a certain budget, you have to tick certain amount of checkboxes, you have to hit certain metrics on Metacritic, you have to satisfy the shareholders. It's too, you can't just go, yo, I got this crazy idea. Let's try this shit out. Now everything has to be pre-planned, committee and shit. That's why you're just getting so sucked out of games, man. And not just games, media in general. Everything has to be through committee now, you know? Because you're now the customer is not you. It's the fucking shareholders, you know? That's why you don't get good games anymore. Or you do get good games, but not the amount we used to get, right? Back when game studios were like 100 dudes or less. Now we have thousands of motherfuckers. Assassin's Creed Shadows had 2 hours for fucking credits. 2 hours, you know? It's crazy, man. This is why, and even the good games we get, they're mostly sequels or remakes. Let's be real here. We'd love Resident Evil Down, but that's a motherfucking sequel, you know? Baldur's Gate 3, that's another sequel, you know? It's like fucking Expedition 33. It's like, the shining beacon, you know, new IP, small fucking studio, you know, it's like, it would be great if we get more of those, but like, and even that took 5 years to make, you know? So it's like game prices are too high, development costs. It takes too fucking long to make games. This is why, man, things are not good. And again, it boggles my mind how people could just ignore this shit. Oh, everything. I like a game that came out. That means everything's good. Ignorant motherfuckers. But this is why I don't talk about this shit on Twitter as much anymore. Because every time I try to bring up these problems, no, but did you play Resident Evil? You reviewed it. How could you say things are bad? Look around you, bitch. Yeah, denial, you know?
Denial.
And Adam, I saw a dude, I was hitting at, I'm going to say, this one guy obviously used ChatGPT to write this long fucking essay on Twitter about why it's good that the PlayStation 5 prices are going up. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? You know? And that's the other part of the equation when these companies are trying to placate to idiots like that, you know? My thing, like, bro, who's going to read all that shit? You know what? If you're going to use AI to write all that shit, I'm going to use AI to give me a summary. I ain't reading all that shit. How about that, motherfucker? You know?
I would have replied, nope.
Yeah, nope. My man wrote an essay on this shit, you know? Like, what the fuck are you doing right now, bro? Anyway.
Yeah, people don't want to see it. Let's see it.
Yeah. All right. And the last question, this one's fun. How important is art design in a game for you guys? Very important.
Yeah, that's how it looks.
Yeah.
I like colorful things. I like, you know, that's what I love about those tribute games, the beat-em-ups.
Yeah.
All of them, they're fun. They look cool. The colors, the turtle ones is fun. The Atomic Marvel one that they did. All of those. What was it? I was just playing another one with Rich. He did the Scott Pilgrim. That was really fun to see. They're really cool.
It's a great series.
We all like, well, not everybody likes playing them, but the Borderlands, you know, the cell shading, art design, that's cool. It looks good. I like it. So it's very important. Very important.
Yeah, that's what gets you in the door, you know, at least to get me in the door. Like, yeah, mechanics and shit matters, but if it don't look good, I'm not coming.
Yeah, I'm not going to waste my time.
Got to look good. What about the rest of you guys? How important is art design to you?
I feel like art design is a great equalizer to graphics.
The graphics.
Or for shitty graphics?
Yes.
Yeah, so like if the graphics aren't up to par, but the art design is stellar, it makes up for it. You know, it makes you not notice it as much. So yeah, it's huge.
Huge.
Look at you, Elden Ring.
It's huge.
That's great point, Brett. Like that, you know, the actual graphics were good, but that art design was fucking incredible.
Yeah, that like I honestly, I think like once graphics hit a certain threshold, it's all about art design.
Yep. And I think we're already there, to be honest.
Well, I mean, most of the time we're there. And like that threshold is getting easier to pass. Like, that's why, like, I think Kingdom Come, like that 10 years ago, like, I don't think you would have gotten that fidelity in a game.
No.
That was kind of that indie. Yeah. So like it's not a like a visual banger, but it's good enough. And I think good enough is getting easier to reach.
I agree. Yeah. We're at a point where, like, you have to almost go out of your way to make a bad-looking video game, you know? We fit a certain, like, medium. You know what I'm saying, Brett?
A certain section of that. And I honestly think that's an example of, like, the quality of the tools raising. And that's the one part about, like, that's why I'm, like, I'm not necessarily in the, you know, burn AI at the stake kind of thing. Because I see a world there where I'm like, okay, so, like, tools are getting better. And as tools get better, games get better. So I'm sure that there is a good way to do this. Now, is there a good way to do this in like the world we live in with financial constraints? I don't know about that. But in a world of pure principle, yeah, sure.
Yeah. No, I mean that's my general feel on it. It's like I don't have a, despite all the, you know, bluster I do, I don't have a problem with generative AI. It's just the way it's being used that I have a problem with. But the actual tools themselves are cool. It's fascinating. I fucking use them, you know, but it's like the way the companies are doing it, it's not right, you know, as we see with DLSS 5. Nobody likes that shit, unless you're a certain somebody, which I'm not going to name, you know. All right, anybody else want to jump in on this before we wrap it up here? All right, I'm going to take that as a no, so we'll move on. Adam, it's always good to see you, man. You already know.
Yeah.
You're like a guest character now.
I know, man. It's just, and I was telling Rich, because I talked to Rich all the time, and I was like, yeah, I'm going to see if I pop on, because, you know, I record all these shows over at the channel, the TV channel.
How many do you do now? Like, how many do you cover?
Right now, let me see. We finished Cross, so now, right now, I'm covering three. Well, I'm doing one with Rich, but we're prepping. We got four episodes that we're prepping, and that doesn't come out till like the end of April, and that's a show that we're covering. But I have Monarchs, Legacy of Monsters. It's the Apple TV one. Doing that one. And then Marshals, which is a CBS one. We've been doing that's the Paramount Plus. So those two. And then the Madison we just finished. That was 8-4-5. So usually around 3 or 4 shows at a time. And it's like, that wasn't the plan. It's always like, oh, we'll do 1 and 2. But then sometimes the way things come out and then other shows are still going. So it's like, oh, we have 10 episodes here. This other show only had 6 episodes. This other one has 8 episodes. And then next, you know, they start overlapping. So I'm looking at schedules and then it's like, all right, we have this date. And then somebody backs out. Oh, I can't make it. I got to do this other day. Okay. Got to switch this around. And then that's what's going on. We try to record. Before it was on Mondays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays. And then it got moved to Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays. And then sometimes we move Saturdays to Sundays. Oh, shit. It's just like even now, like I just did for Monarch Legacy of Monsters. My brother, he had some other stuff to do. He couldn't record for Thursday. The episode drops on Friday, so we couldn't do the weekend. We did it today on Sunday. And he's like, all right, we could do this at like 7 o'clock, you know, Eastern time. So that's how I'm able to do this, because then we already record it and then jump. Because if not, if he says, oh, it's at night, then we're doing it. And that's why when I would jump in and you're like, oh, the show was over.
Yep.
You know? So that would happen. So, yeah, it's a lot. And then we were going to cover Invincible. And then we said, no, Rich says you guys are covering it on the channel. Yep. I was like, no double dipping. So then I don't have to deal with that. I wasn't doing it. So,
all right. You could thank me for that, taking that off your load.
Yes. There you go.
Oh, man. But yeah, just tell the people, you know, talk about TV Terminal, where they can find you and all that good
stuff. Yeah, you find it on YouTube. Just type in the TV Terminal. It comes up. Also on the Coalition, it comes up. So I'm there. You'll see it cover a bunch of shows. I mean, we've just covered the Cross, Fallout, I'm losing it. So many. Slow Horses. We're all over the place. So it's a lot of shows, and we just got more and more that are coming down the pipeline. And it's fun. It's me. And then I have other guests that jump in for this entire series of one. Rich, we did Mayor of Kingstown. Rich jumped in for that one. That was a fun one. My buddy Lawrence and I, we cover Marshalls. My brother and I, we cover Monarch Legacy of Monsters. My buddy Ken, we did Cross and Fallout. So, yeah, it's always a conversation. And that's what we're doing. That's what we're offering. You know. And now I got good steady flow of people. It's actually making money now. That's always nice. Oh, yeah. Yeah, so it's like people are coming in and they get it now. Now people get it. They're like, oh, this is a conversation, and then I can chime in the comments, and then you bring it up. And that's what I do. You know, people, we say, oh, put in the comments. And then when they say something in the comments, I'll bring it up in the show. It's like, so-and-so said this. What do you think? And then sometimes it works. On Spartacus, House of Azure was very interesting because we had cast members jumping, showrunners jumping, everybody's talking. And then next, you know, we have other people talking to the cast members. You know, it was just like turned into its own little thing. And people are still doing it now. And it's funny. It's funny because, you know, on YouTube, you get the comments. Yeah. It was like all this stuff. I'm like, that's not to me, though. They're talking amongst themselves.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, yeah. It's like, oh, I love this scene. Yeah, I did this. And then we had somebody who was an extra one. Yeah, it was great. And I had to put fake blood on my face. Blah, 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 blah. You know, so it's fun. It's a fun thing. So if you're into TV shows of all types, you could go ahead and check it out. And and you'll see us. And that's it. And you'll know you're in the right because you'll see my face. But also in all the episodes, I give links. I have the Coalition. I have my buddies, the Punk with Toys, and I have Throwdown Show. You'll always see all three. You could always click. So that's why you know you're in the right place.
Good stuff, man. Yeah. Now you're making me think of Saturday Night Live. You know, talk amongst yourselves.
Yeah, that's it. And that's the best thing you could do, because then next you know you look and more people talk, and then I look and say, oh, it's got 10,000 views now.
Excuse me?
It's like I got some of them that have like gone, and I didn't do anything.
You know, that's it.
People start talking, they share it, then someone else jumps in, someone else comes in and talks, and then they share it, and then it's like, and then it grows. You know, now the big one is Marshalls. That's the big one that's been getting in the thousands for all of them, because of a lot of the drama with it. But yeah, it's good. It's a good show.
Yeah, the trains, you don't have to man them. They come in and out of their own now, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
in and out of the terminal.
And you see the train animation. We got the train animation now. You see a train like flying through the front. That's what's up. You know?
That's great. But yeah, you mentioned it. So yes, I will plug the Invincible podcast, which is back on in full effect. The first two episodes are up. First episodes of our show. Obviously, we've covered the first 4 episodes, you know, because I still don't like that. Can you just not have 3? So yeah, go you'll check it out. And now we're at the halfway point. Shit's about to get real. We kind of got rid of that filler episode. I liked the episode, but it was kind of a filler one. Now we're getting to the real shit. You know,
shit.
Adam, no spoilers. I know you read the books. No spoilers.
Slayer. That yeah. was that. It's Raiden Blood. Yes.
Yeah, oh, that was wild, man. But yeah, go check it out over on the Coalition YouTube, the Invincible Podcast, the greatest superhero podcast in the universe. You already know. And of course, go check out the Coalition. You know, this week, Rich is going to have some good stuff. I think he's in PAX. I think that's what he's doing in Boston. So he'll probably have some good stuff over on the website. Go check that out. And shout out to Manny, who's in Chicago, C2E2.
The town. Didn't that already happen?
Today was the last day, but he was there. That's why he was in. Well, he was on a Thursday show, but it was like after the fact. But yeah, Manny's been at C2E2 for a few days now. But I think today was the last day. I could be wrong. I don't know if there's another day, but shout out to Manny, you know. And yeah, that's going to do it for us, man. So make sure you follow Throwdown on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, Discord, and on your favorite podcast app. Links to everything down below. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I was joined by Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Adam Vale.
Have a good week, everybody.
Brett Murdoch. It's been real, party people.
Deuces.
Hey,
there you go. She was frozen for a minute.
And you're fucking, I thought it was your dogs again, bro. And of course, Brian Manjoma.
I think Crimson Desert might be one of the best games in a long time. I mean, I keep going to a forest and getting roofied by children.
Yeah. That fucking mission, bro. Yes. Wild. All right, guys, we shall return on Thursday. Hopefully the internet doesn't, the gaming industry doesn't completely set itself on fire by then. Peace.
Deuces.